Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, it is Pitbull week. It is Pitbull week.
I can't wait to see the videos, hear the stories,
I'm going, see you cha-chaing. Yes, I'm going to Pitbull.
I'm nervous and I'm excited and I'm anticipating and I'm scared. I'm feeling all the things for you.
Here's the good news. I'm going with our youngest son, Joey.
Is that the good news?
And my dear friend, Amy, who passed away last year, her son, her oldest son, Charlie. Great. So I'll be safe.
I know, but I mean, you know what? They're a lot younger than you. So just like if you see other 56-year-olds, like look at them, be like, I got your back. Like if you hurt a hip or something, I'm here for you.
Yeah, I'm going to Pitbull.
I'm nervous.
I'm going to rage.
Send me videos.
I'm going to dance. I'm going to sing. What's your favorite song? Oh gosh, there's so many. Well, his recent collaboration with Dolly Parton, I love Powerful Women. Yeah. Oh, the Powerful Women.
I actually don't love that one. Oh. Yeah, it's fine. It has a quip. I like the one that's like
On the Floor with Jennifer Lopez. I love Everything. Give me everything.
I like Fireball. That's my favorite one.
Timber's a good one.
Yeah. Timber.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Okay.
Hey, well, here's my good day.
Okay.
It was my mom's birthday this weekend, and my sister came in from out of town.
Yes.
You know, she didn't do this, and this kind of actually folds into what we're talking about, because my sister flew to Ohio without her husband and children and came to just spend like 3 days with my mom without any distractions. I mean, you know what? I think we know what the spirit of what I'm saying.
Yes.
Like, of course, her kids and husband aren't a distraction.
Sure.
But it's also nice to have that time. And so we did Amish country like tourists this weekend. We went to all the spots.
Oh, it was so busy.
I got gray apples and caramel and good stuff and meat and cheese, like all the things.
Was it so busy?
It was busy, but it was so fun. Yeah, it was so fun. Good. So we really just focused on my mom for her birthday and had such a great weekend together. Yeah.
Well, I had a wonderful weekend. My good day was that I basically stayed in my pajamas for 2 days straight. I literally even dribbled food down the front of them.
And didn't just change?
Didn't change it. Nope. Because I just kind of wiped it off.
I am judging you.
And it might have got a little smeary, but I wiped it off. Huh. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stay on my jammies, enjoy my home. Hmm. I caught up on all the laundry, vacuumed thoroughly, moved out furniture. But I didn't get dressed. I stayed
like,
in
when
jammies.
When did the pajamas go on and when did they come off? I want to know specifics.
Okay, that's a great question. They went on Friday night and they did not come off until Monday morning.
And there's no showering in there?
They definitely got put in the laundry, though.
Is there any showering?
No. No, little sponge bath.
No. No showering?
Little bird bath.
What? Like a little cloth on the parts? What? I'm nervous.
I just didn't feel like it. Saturday and Sunday didn't feel like it. Listen, I stayed in my pajamas. And Sunday, Daryl looked over. He gave me a side eye, and he was like, weren't you wearing that yesterday? And I said,
Daryl,
yes, I was, Daryl. Actually. And you had a wonderful supper last night, and you're going to get a wonderful one tonight if you don't go any further.
You better just shut. Did Daryl smooch you?
What?
Did Daryl smooch you?
Daryl always smooches me.
Oh, even if you're like shmeary?
Even if I have. I brushed my teeth.
I'm nervous.
Well, that was my good day. Well, here's what I say. Hanging out.
Sometimes,
being in my jammies.
Well, you know what we tell our kids? We tell our kids pits and parts. Just clean your pits and parts.
Yeah, a little bird bath.
Pits and parts. Yeah. Okay, hey, last week we talked. Honestly, we struck a chord. I know my Instagram was busy and yours was flooded because what we talked about last week just really sparked something in us. I think it really hit home, close to home, in what it looks like to love and be loved as adult children and as children of parents of adult children, and what that looks like. Because here's the reality: I think no matter what, many of us fall. I mean, we all fall into one of those categories, right? Either a child, or we have adult children, or both. Some people, if you're in the age of 56, you probably have.
They call it the sandwich generation.
Yeah, I get that.
Where you have adult children, but you also have adult parents that are still living.
Yeah, I get that. And so many people, you know, that resonated with. And so we honestly didn't get through everything. And so I have some things that we need to talk about. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited to keep going in this topic.
Yes, with each point that you're going to give us, we're going to talk about some things that you researched and discovered. And with every point you give us, I have, because let me just tell you, and you know this, I did not even get to all of my DMs on this topic. I had so many people reach out. So with every point you give, we have a correlating response on my Instagram stories that kind of goes with the point that you share.
Yeah,
Because here's the thing. We can learn from one another.
100%.
And I think it's important to kind of cast our net, you know, wider than just what you and I think and what other people are experiencing. Not only is it valuable, but we can learn. We can learn something different or a different perspective. And I do love that, because even with some of these responses, I was like, oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Absolutely. And if there's something that we talk about that sparks something about our families or our parents or the way you parent, you know, I love to hear it too from you too. Yeah, I love learning from you. So when we think about our relationship with our parents, if we're an adult and we have parents that are still living, or if we think about our relationship as an adult that has adult children with us, we want to talk about what are some ways that we can navigate this really well, because I do think it's a challenging, and it's, you know, I saw this thing in the last week, and my mom and I were actually talking about it. It's this woman who, she looked like she was maybe in her 80s, and she was getting up to give a speech, and in her speech she said something to the effect of, hey, be patient with me, because this is the first time I've ever been this age. This is the first time I've ever been 84.
It's the first time we've ever been a parent.
This is the first time you've ever been a parent of an adult child. Right. And this is the first time I've ever had a mom while being married and three kids. I'm still learning how to do it. And so I think, just to kind of lay the groundwork, it's be patient with us, because we're all still learning. Right?
Yeah, that's good.
So this is still a learning curve for so many people. Mm-hmm. And I think there is wisdom to be found in each other.
Good.
So as we think about these relationships, I actually have 9 things when I researched and I looked around that I think are great. I don't want to say tips, but maybe ways to navigate this together.
Or even ways that you can cultivate health.
Absolutely.
Cultivating a healthy relationship. Because let me tell you, Matt, and you know this because I shared it with you before we started recording. Reading all of these DMs that I got to was almost a little triggering, because there were so many hard situations.
Right.
So many hard stories. And so I think for these 9 things, it's important for all of us to listen up, because these can help us cultivate a healthy relationship with our parents, if we're an adult, and if with our adult kids.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, here's the first one. Respecting each other's independence. And I think especially respecting your children's independence as they age. So that means acknowledging their autonomy, that they're adults, that they're making decisions for themselves, that they are now in charge of their life.
Right.
And also avoid micromanaging them. You know, there's this interesting trend, and I'm not going to say it's unhealthy or bad, but it's just interesting, because I think there's so much. You can look at a picture on Instagram and make a lot of assumptions and judgment.
Right.
But there's a whole movement now around, have you seen this, decorating kids' dorm rooms? Have you seen this? It's a big thing.
Yeah.
And my parents helped me with
it. It looks like HGTV.
Yeah. And you know what? That doesn't necessarily mean unhealth, but it just reminds me, like, of when we talk about avoid micromanaging, even like how your dorm room's decorated and, you know, what that looks like. And I think as adult parents, or as parents of adults, you're so used to making decisions for them. You know, you've said to me for a long time, like, I'm still in the little kid phase in a lot of ways, that I think the misconception is that it's easier as they get older. but it's different because it's different. Right now we are controlling everything that our kids do, everything they eat, everywhere they go.
And you set the rules.
Yeah, we set it all.
They have to obey them.
And then you know what? It's not going to be like that forever.
Right.
And I think as our kids age, we need to learn how to scaffold. This is that education term again, where we scaffold away from that. And we start taking the scaffolding down and letting them be themselves.
Yeah. And let me rephrase. You set the rules. They don't have to listen to those rules.
That's
but
right.
You are the authority in your house. You and Mallory are the authority. You say, this is the rules of our family. And we're asking you to abide by them. Now they can rebel against those rules, but there'll be consequence when they're out of your house. They are setting their own rules, their own choices. And with that comes, you know, consequences.
Right.
So I'm going to read, this response that I thought was so good as it pertains to respecting independence. The biggest thing I want my adult children to know, I'm always going to be the sharp end of the stick, telling you when I see things that could cause issues. But I recognize your adulthood and sovereignty, so you don't have to listen to me. As a result, I cannot suspend consequence. I'll always be here for you, to love you, to comfort you, to pray for you, but I will not be able to correct your course. That's the privilege that you get for your sovereignty. The first of my three children just got married, and I also talked about this with him and his wife. And I think this is so good because what she's saying is, I'm going to be a presence in your life that's brave enough and cares enough to say something you might not want to hear, and you don't have to listen to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I then can't help you if the result of that decision brings something that you don't want in your life. And I think that's a very healthy way to say this, that you know, because we don't want to be a doormat either.
Right.
As Absolutely. Parents of adult kids, Absolutely. We don't want to be like, yes, sure. And anything goes. We want to be able to say what we feel or believe, which our adult kids probably already
they
know.
Already know. Yeah.
But we want to be able to state that and then be able to let them choose their own course.
Yeah, that's great. All right, here's the next one. Encourage versus judge. Mm. You know, I think as your kids start growing up, they start creating their own thinking, their own belief system. They start making choices that are maybe different than what you would want.
Right.
But I think as they learn to find themselves and they make different choices, encourage them in those things instead of judgment and judging them. You know, your kids are not going to do everything that you think they should do. You know, there are things, this is kind of funny. I was even with my mom and my sister this weekend. I'm kind of a little bit of a jokey joker.
Oh, yeah. And what's your age and what's Jen's age?
I am 39 and my sister's 36.
Okay.
And you know, there are some things that I maybe tease about or joke around that maybe my mom and my sister wouldn't love, but you know what? They aren't judgmental of it.
Right,
and
right.
So, you know, they're just,
yeah, they
sweet.
Just know. Yeah. Yeah.
Know.
And also,
like, oh,
also
you.
You're not disparaging. It's not like you're teasing in a way that's like rude.
No.
You're just being
no.
like,
Yeah. So I think always being open to encouraging your kids versus judging. Here's the thing. Your personal beliefs and your judgment versus encouragement, that is either going to draw your child towards you or push them away.
100%.
Here's the thing.
I heard so much of that in my
relationships DM. Are not static. Relationships don't just stay. You're either investing in a relationship or withdrawing. You're either pushing or you're pulling, or you're going leaning in or you're pulling away.
Yeah.
And I can tell you right now that if you are encouraging, you are pushing in and you're getting closer.
Right.
And if you're judging, you're pulling away and you're withdrawing.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean that you'll never have a relationship with your kid. That
doesn't mean it'll end. And it doesn't mean you can't have an opinion.
Absolutely.
Like, you can have an opinion. I think it's all about delivery.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, I have one for encourage versus judge, and I think it's so good. This is a parent to adult children. She wants to say to her adult children, come home. And I don't mean just for a visit. And yes, that's good too. But I mean, if life is just lifing, we're here. If you're struggling financially, mentally, emotionally, come home. If you're having a bad situation or a relationship, come home. If you're feeling lost and need a moment to regroup, come home. Parenting doesn't end at 18, and I never want my kids to feel like they don't have a place to come if they need it. Take that risk, because if it doesn't work out, you can come home and we can figure out the next step. Life is hard and shit happens, but they don't have to feel like they are in it alone just because they are a quote unquote adult. Mm. Home is always here.
Mm. That sounds like an open home to me.
So good.
That's a mom that I feel like has laid the groundwork for an encouraging, loving home that's not full of judgment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because here's the reality is life does happen and life gets in the way. And some of the choices that we make as an adult don't pan out maybe the way that we thought. And so to know that you have a home base, and like she said, that doesn't always mean come and visit me. That's not what she means.
Yes, right.
She means I have created a safe space for you and you are always welcome here to be here, to know that I love you. You know, I always joke sometimes with my kids if I'm like, I need to have a sleepover at my Grammy's house. I'm going to sleep over at my mom's house. Or if I'm sick, guess what? I want my mom to make me a dippy egg with a piece of toast.
Yes.
And so when your family creates those spaces, those are so precious. Yes.
Here's another one. Sometimes you just have to listen. And have conversations with your kids that you would have with non-family members. Religion, relationships, politics, who makes the best pie? And know that it's okay to disagree.
Yeah.
Lead and leave every conversation with love. My kids have different opinions than I do, and they should. Mm. I tried to raise them to develop their own beliefs and their own values. And I think that's someone who's saying, I've taught you what I've thought is right. Now I want you to go put it to the test.
That's right.
And you make up your mind for what you believe is right and just and wrong and all of that.
That's right. Yeah. That's so good. I love that she says in that they should. They should have different opinions. They should have a different life experience. And you want them to. Because I think one of the dangers that we fall into as parents is we are raising a child. And if we think we're raising a child, we will always treat them like a child.
Correct, right.
But if we realize we are raising a future adult that we truly, I would say most parents, want their child to be independent thinking, to be living a life aside from them or apart from them or even go further than them. And I think when we do that, we have the opportunity to look at our kids and say, you are an adult and I'm so proud of you and I don't agree with everything that you think, but man, I'm proud that you are an independent thinker.
Well, and I also think that all of that takes intentionality, right? I mean, and sometimes we learn from the way we were raised, the things we don't want to do 100%. With our children.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the next one. It's having open and honest communication. Mm-hmm. Listen to your children. Mm-hmm. Respectfully share what you think and encourage open dialogue. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This kind of piggybacks off of what I was talking about. Having open and honest communication means you don't treat each other like you're still children and parent. Mm-hmm. That as your kid grows up, knowing that they want to be seen as an adult too. That the kid wants to be seen as an adult.
That was, I think, the number one thing I got back from adult kids about their parents. Yeah. Don't treat me like a child anymore.
Right.
Don't treat me like you can tell me what to do because I no longer, like, I'm not under your authority. I don't live in your house anymore. Like, don't tell me, don't instruct me things that I have to do, should do it this way. That was literally the number one thing I heard from adult kids.
Yeah, because so I think in regards to open and honest communication, it's really listening to each other and seeing the person as they really are right now in real time.
Yes, I've got a good one for this. I am both a parent to adult children and an adult child to my still living mother. I would say to my children, you can tell me anything. In fact, nothing is off the table. Please give me your best compliments and your most difficult constructive criticism and everything in between. My mom still will not have hard conversations with me, and it has resulted in a very superficial and surface relationship that she isn't even aware of because she will not go deep with me. Being in the middle has influenced my answer, because what I haven't gotten from my mother is exactly what I want with my children. In fact, I've almost demanded it. And I've gotten my feelings hurt a couple times, but it always leads to a deeper discussion and understanding of our different perspectives. It is hard, but it is good.
That's so interesting.
Love that.
Okay, here's our next one. Help each other out. See, here's what this is.
It's a good one.
Is it's not about the task that you're doing necessarily. It's about the time together. Mm-hmm. I had someone in my DM, she said, as an adult, she will go to her adult children's house and say, like, what can I do to help you out? Which is great. As a, I receive that from my mom, and I love that.
Right.
But this mom said in particular, she's like, I don't even care what we're doing. It's more about spending time together and hanging out, and how important that is. You know, I think sometimes we think each other, I think a lie that we tell ourselves on both ends is that we're a burden. I think that's a lie we can tell ourselves.
Right.
So I think as parents get to a place where their kids get really busy and they're like, you know, I'm in the season where I have three kids, my wife and I both work full time, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I think a lie that we can tell ourselves is when our kids are in that season is that our kids are too busy.
Right.
That the time is so hard.
Right.
Or that we're a burden to them.
Right.
I think the other, on the other hand, you know, as the child with an adult, I think, oh, I don't want to ask my mom to do this for us because I don't want to burden her with that. Well, guess what? My mom might love to do that.
And I think it's having the perception of what's too much to ask, or what is a burden, what's not a burden. I think you know your mom well enough when you can ask that and when it's like maybe too much.
Well, and part of it is saying what you saying what you can and can't do, and what you want and what you need.
And then on the flip side of that, the parent being able to say, like, hey, I can't do it, I have plans, or hey, I don't want to only be called when that was another thing parents shared with me. I don't want to only be called when it has something to do with the grandkids.
Yeah.
I also want to be called when it has, like, hey, do you want to meet for coffee?
Right.
Do you want to go get a salad? And I think that it's important to kind of sit back for a second and evaluate that.
Yeah.
This one was a really good one. And I think when we are adults with parents who are older, and we have our kids, I'm going to use you as an example. Often parents that are very aware of space and not intruding, or not being a helicopter parent, even when their kids are adults, they want you to invite them over. They don't want to say, hey, invite me over. But this is what this lady said. She is a parent to adult kids, and she is saying, invite me over. I won't come unannounced. This is a lot of parents. They won't just come unannounced. And a lot of your in-laws, your daughter-in-laws, especially daughter-in-laws, I would think, don't want their mother-in-law just dropping over unannounced.
Yeah, yeah.
So invite me over. I won't come unannounced, but I'd love for you to call and say, I hate laundry. Your turn. I'll fix you a PB&J if you'll just come sort out my socks. or the kids are jumping on the leaves. Thought you might want to come over and take some pictures. You know, just think of your parents. Like, think of them. You know, when our boys travel, I say, you don't have to give me play by play.
Right.
But if you just send me some pictures, or just let me know you got there safely.
Right.
I would really appreciate that. Right. And so then when I get pictures from Teddy or MG, they just went to a wedding and I got pictures throughout the evening of the wedding. It makes me feel not just included, but it makes me feel seen and loved.
I love that she's like, I'll make you a PB&J if you just sort my socks. I need you to tap in. I love that. All right, here's the next one.
Remember to invite your parents.
Yeah, invite them along. Hey, here's the next one. Set boundaries. So what that means to me is managing expectations on communication, on visits, on how we support each other. You know, boundaries are, it's such a buzzword, and it's hard because I feel like we're boundaries, but it's true. Boundaries are saying, this is what I will and won't do, and you are invited to be a part of it.
Yeah.
So part of it is, hey, I am not going to, I mean, I haven't had to say this to my mom, but part of it is because I want to establish my own family rhythms. My mom's not going to be at my house every single night, nor does she expect
to be. But some moms would be. Some moms would just drop in, right, drop over. Right. And
so I think part of it too is managing boundaries together so that we know, like, hey, this is how we can love each other well and have a healthy relationship.
Right, right. Okay, this is a good one pertaining to boundaries, and when it, you know, and let me preface this about the topic of boundaries. Boundaries are best implemented by you in difficult situations to navigate when you consult with someone who's a professional and knows how to help you set right. those boundaries, because there is a difference between boundaries and like discipline and rules of your home. Like right. there's boundaries right. have boundaries are broad. Right. So make sure that you are setting boundaries that are at optimal health, right. like at the best health. And the best way that I learned to do that was with the guidance of a professional clinical counselor.
Right.
Okay. I am an adult only child who's currently working through what a relationship with my parents looks like when I have realized that they are not, nor have they ever been, emotionally safe for me.
Mm.
I think I'd want my parents to let go of their ideal of me and realize that I have grown up too, apart from them, and to get to know me as an adult. I'd want them to know that it's difficult for me to visit because it feels like they still see me as a high schooler. Mm. And the version of myself I bring to them is a shell of a full functioning, life loving adult that I have become because of this. I'd want them to know that just because I enjoy things that are different than they'd want or expect doesn't mean that I have compromised my faith or that I am dishonoring them. They've worked hard to provide for me, and I'm still grateful. I love them. I just wish they knew how difficult it is for me to show up when I feel like I cannot be the adult that I am around them.
Mm. That's so hard.
I mean, I think, you know, that middle part feels a little tiny bit confusing, but what she's basically saying is I'm not bringing my whole self to you because yeah. I feel like I can't be my whole self in front right. of you.
Right.
And I don't feel like I am dishonoring you or my faith or that I've compromised, but I can't be truly who I am in front yeah. of you. And I think that's an important thing to know. It's very self-aware, but there has to probably eventually maybe become a discussion or,
totally.
Or because if not, you're not bringing
right,
who
right.
you are
They're
to
missing,
your family
missing
or
out.
Parents.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. All right. Here's the next one. Learn how to love and be loved. I think as we navigate this, you know, I actually love the whole love language thing, acts of service, gifts, time, physical touch, all those things. I love the five love languages. I think it's so great. And I think it can actually help create a framework around how we want to be loved and how we can love. You know, I think for me, I think about my relationship with my dad. I actually don't talk about that very much. It's still not something I want to talk about a lot
right.
at this point.
Right.
But my dad, who's no longer living, he came from a really strict German family that was very work oriented. And I'm more cut from the cloth as my mom. And this is going to be shocking. I like talking. I like talking about my feelings.
Right.
I like
right,
talking
right.
about what I'm thinking. And my dad just wasn't that way. You know, my dad was a worker. He thought, you know, there were right and wrong ways to do things. And I think for me, something I had navigated and was working through even up until his death was learning how to feel loved by him. Mm. You know, my dad said, I loved you. My dad hugged me. My dad said, I'm proud of you. But I still was always like, so when you clean my car and I just want to sit and have a cup of coffee with you, I want that, but you're giving me this.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we need to learn how to love our children in the way they wish to be received. And I also think as the child, we need to learn to receive love from our parents the way that they're willing to give it. Because here's the reality. Sometimes what they give you is actually all they can give.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, my therapist, Julie, who we love. Julie, if you are listening, Julie has listened to this podcast, which I love. But my therapist said, you know, if the people in your life never, ever, ever changed, and if they didn't have the capacity to change or they never changed, would you still love them and be and interact with them? And the answer to that is, of course. It's not that right. they're going to change. Right. It's that right. I have to change my thinking right. to say, oh, when they do this, right. that means that they love yeah. me.
Or if they do things that are not healthy for you, it's your choice and it's your place to say, I think we're going to head out. I think we're
right.
going to go home.
Totally.
You know, because that's a boundary.
Totally.
Okay. For love and quality time, I have three things. This one is hilarious. I am an adult child. 50 years old. My parents are 70 and 73. What I want to say to them is, please, for the love of Jesus, get hearing aids.
Maybe a way you can love your adult children is get a hearing aid.
Trying to have a conversation with you is impossible.
Okay, so that's number six. Number six is learn how to love and be loved. Mm-hmm. Here's number seven.
Oh, quality time, yes.
Number seven sorry. Is quality time.
I jumped ahead, sorry.
That's okay. Number seven is quality time, and that is maybe sharing interests or mm-hmm. making new memories together or just spending time together. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. quality time, there was a whole movement years ago that was like, it's about quality time versus quantity time. You know what? It's both.
Yes.
It really can
yes.
be both.
Yes.
Because for me, I feel loved when I can sit on a couch and watch a movie and we never say a word. But I also feel loved in a 10-minute conversation where somebody right. says something kind.
Right.
So it really, really is
right.
about both.
Right. Okay. This is a really good one, especially if you have a parent or a child who works all the time. Adult child here. Taking time away from your normal day-to-day, or specifically taking off work to hang out with me, does more for me than buying me gifts or things I may not want or need. Mm. I mean, that's a zinger.
That'll preach.
Here's another one that I think is so great. And this is from a mom. This is from a mom of adult kids. I set aside time, we call them mom dates, for each child one-on-one, even for my son-in-law, who we love dearly. We get coffee or ice cream or whatever, and they get to spill their hearts and get some encouragement. If they ask for advice, they get it. If they don't, I just listen. They value these times as much as I do. My husband expresses love with food. So when they are having a rough time, he drops off their favorite home. That could make me almost want to cry. So when they're having a rough time, he drops off their favorite food, their favorite home-cooked meal at their house. I think and pray that these times help them feel seen and connected mm-hmm. and less alone.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Love you know that. What I love about that? It's really just what we were talking about, learning how to love and be
yes,
loved.
Yes.
Because the mom, she's so comfortable with the conversation and the dad's comfortable with food.
Yes.
And as a kid, you got to learn how to receive both.
Yes.
Because they're
so
showing it in
true.
The way that they love. They want to do it. They love you. And it's a way to say, I feel cared and seen by that as well. I love that so much.
Yeah, so good. Okay.
You know, we practice this in our family with my mom. I realized this a couple years ago, I would say. My mom doesn't love gifts. My mom is not a gift person. My mom is not a stuff person. My mom is probably the original minimalist. Because I didn't grow up in a house that had, I mean, you wouldn't know it when you look at my home now, because I love tchotchkes and stuff, but I did not grow up in a home that had stuff. My mom didn't collect stuff. She wasn't into, I might take that back. Kitchen dishes, depression glass, like that kind of stuff.
That.
She loves that kind
but
of stuff.
But she doesn't go overboard.
But if you go in her house, she doesn't have stuff on the walls. Yeah, no. She's just not a big stuff person.
Right.
So for her birthday, what we've done the last probably 5 years or so is we'll pick a day, we'll find a show that we want to see in Cleveland at Playhouse Square, which, as we say here often, is the second mm-hmm. largest theater district in the nation.
Cleveland.
Playhouse Square, if you are listening, we
Playhouse
love you.
Square.
Here's the thing. We'll go see a show together and just spend the day together, because quality and quantity time are both so important.
Yeah, so good. What's number eight?
Number eight is offering support without entitlement.
Okay.
Do not expect the other person to meet your need. Actually,
to read your mind.
I have one. I want you to read yours, but then I have one that I want to add to this too.
Do you want me to read mine now while
read
you're looking
yours.
For it? Okay. Mine is this. This is for offering support, and I think this is absolutely lovely. I think one thing I would want my parents to know is that I'm so thankful for everything they have sacrificed in order to give me the best childhood. Beyond that, I want to thank them for supporting me even now as an adult and encouraging me to be bold, to be brave, and to trust God. I am a single 30-year-old. I own my own house and car. Lately, this economy has really made things hard for me. I live a half a mile from my parents. My mom started having me over for dinner once a week because she, in quotes, she wanted to see me. My dad comes over and fixes things around the house while I'm at work because, in quotes, he's retired and has time. I know they're really doing it because they want to take care of me, and I feel immeasurably blessed to have them. I tell them every chance I get how thankful I am for them and how much I love them.
Mm, that's so good.
I mean, that is offering support right there.
100%.
That is seeing what's going on with their life and not sitting and like commiserating like, oh, the economy and this is so bad, mm-hmm. and you're a single 30-year-old lady. Instead, they just spring into action.
Yeah,
I
love
like,
that.
Come over once a week. And then the dad is like, hey, let me fix that leaky faucet for mm-hmm. you. Yeah, it's good.
So in regards to offering support without entitlement and expectations, I love this because this more talks about the emotional side of it. It says, don't make your kids feel like they are responsible for your identity or your self-worth.
Mm, so good.
This starts early, and I bet little kids can feel it, but adult children for sure feel it. I've been mindful of this while raising my kids because I have been on the receiving end, and it is not healthy. This goes beyond making your kids feel bad and guilty. I want to make sure that it's overtly apparent to my kids that my own identity is in Christ and away from them so that they don't have to perform for me as they grow up and become adults.
So good.
You know, I love that because it comes with that not being entitled to each other. I think we don't, as parents and kids, I think it goes both ways. You can't expect the other person to be responsible for your identity.
Right.
And I think you're going to speak to that in a little bit about there's a season shift in there that's really hard. But before we get there, number nine
is
celebrating each other.
Yes. Okay. So there's a couple here. This one is from a child who has adult parents that says, we need to hear from our parents that they are proud of us no matter our ages and that they believe in us. It's never too late to change a generational story no matter how old you are. I love that one. This one is also from an adult child to her parents. I want to tell my parents, and I do regularly, that they need to live. They have done so much for me and my siblings growing up, and they continue to do so much. But now they are retired, and they need to do for them. They have sacrificed for everyone else. It's time for them to live it up.
That's good.
Love it.
All right. We wanted to end with this story because it just, honestly, both of us, it spoke to us.
Yeah.
And I love what this mom had to say about relationships with their kids. And so do you want to read that one for us?
Yes, I will. I'm excited for my, this one, let me just tell you, I might have to pause a minute because this one does make me want to cry because it's more of the season that I'm in. Our boys are 24 and 29 and it just struck a chord. Okay. I'm excited for my children to build their own lives outside my home, and I simultaneously grieve the absence of a let me start over. I'm excited for my children to build their own lives outside my home, and I simultaneously grieve the absence of a noisy home, making family meals, the nighttime snuggles, the car line talks, cheering on the sidelines, and so much more. It's not that I want to hold them back. I just need to find another way to be involved with their life, and I'm learning what that looks like. I'm in a sweet spot as a parent to independent children and a child to independent parents. So when I get in my feelings about my own children, I call my parents, realizing that they miss me too.
I love that.
So good.
That's so good.
Makes me cry.
I know.
Because what she's saying is, I'm recognizing that if I feel this way, my parents feel this way too.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think I feel that way. I don't want my children to hold themselves back. I want them to live a full life and a great life and to do their thing. But We are. If you are an adult child with older, you know, older parents, your parents maybe are their 50s, 60s, 70s, recognize that we are experiencing a different time too.
Yeah.
And we are figuring out how to live this life without mm-hmm. you under our roofs. Mm-hmm. And so just practice a little grace. Mm-hmm. You know, I always tell my boys, you don't have to tell me everything. You don't have to give me play by plays, but just send me an occasional text or pictures of what you're doing. Or sometimes it could just makes my heart sing. Our boys will send me a picture of the food that they're having at a restaurant. And I'm like, oh, you know, I don't think that adult parents, most of them, don't require a ton if things are healthy.
Right.
But we do want communication and to know that our kids are living a happy life.
And I think at the end of the day, it goes back to what we started with is, this is all our first time around the sun at this age and this season of life. So we're all just learning it together.
Right.
We're all just learning how to,
it's so true.
I'm learning so how to be a husband and a parent of three. My mom's learning how to be a grandparent and a mom of adult kids.
And living alone. Your mom alone.
And we're all just learning how to navigate wherever we are for the first time ever. And there's not a manual. There's going to be bumps in the road.
So true.
So I think it's giving each other grace and loving each other along the way.
I mean, who became an expert the first time doing it? Nobody.
Nobody did. Hey, this is a great segue. This weekend, I said in my good day that we did Amish country. Yes. And of course,
let's talk about food.
One of our stops was Walnut Creek Cheese, which is the retail store of Walnut Creek Foods.
Our official sponsor.
We love this place. Let me tell you, I didn't get a lot this time because I didn't really know what we needed. You know, Mallory wasn't with me at this moment. She had to go home. And so I didn't really know what we needed at home. But let me tell you what I went for.
Okay.
Because I went for a couple things.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
Let me tell you what I went for. I went for pickled eggs, the beet eggs in the cannery.
And the pickled beets are wonderful.
They're so good. Okay. I went for the baby beets, the bigger jar.
Yes.
My son Fitz loves beets.
Yes.
So we went for that. We also went for the maple cinnamon rolls.
Yep.
Bring me maple or don't come at all.
Bring me maple That's or all don't I'm come saying. At all.
Yep. Just don't come at all. Like, don't come. Don't show up.
We love Walnut Creek cheese and Walnut Creek
Foods. Wait, I'm not
done
yet.
Oh, you're not done?
No.
Oh.
Here's what else I got.
That pause meant you're done. Wow.
No.
Okay.
I got Italian seasoning. I love the way that their seasonings come in those little plastic boxes. Mm-hmm. And I also got taco seasoning to try. We actually go through a lot of taco seasoning in our house. We do Taco Tuesday. Yeah.
Their taco seasoning is good.
And then once we got all of our vittles and had them gathered up, you know what we did?
We got
a big old bowl of their custard and went upstairs before we checked out. We ate.
Did you just do the vanilla?
I got chocolate.
Okay.
I got chocolate.
Okay.
Okay.
I love their chocolate.
Fancy. So their custard is to die for.
They have their own
creamery. Did a little shopping. We did a little ice cream and it made for a chef's kiss. Here's the other thing. Oh, listen, you know, I'm going to save it for the next time. I have another thing to say.
I know. You know, we're fans. We love it.
We'd
love to thank Walnut Creek Foods and Walnut Creek Cheese and Market for being our official sponsor here on These Are Good Days.
Hey, thanks for joining us in part two conversation all about our relationships as we age and as we become adults. You know, whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.